drumming is. Got that, Alex? Anyway. If you have your Bibles, we are going to be in Romans chapter 8. We'll be a little bit in 7, too. We're going to roll through most of 8. I'm going to skip a lot, but 7 brings us up to 8. But I just want to remind you that the book of Romans will help you learn, and especially in your beginning walk with the Lord, it will help you. But it's always a great revisit to remind us who we are in the Lord. So Romans can be somewhat, sometimes people think, oh, I've heard that, it's very simplified. But if you really start looking at it, Romans can be kind of difficult as well. There's a lot packed into Romans, and so we're going to look at some things, and we're going to look at the sin issue here a little bit, where we do what we don't want to do, and those kind of things. But I want to share with you this message tonight because America is just kind of, we're just kind of doing what we want to do. That's what we're doing, and some of us are just checking off the box. Even the small group here, some of us here because we want to be, some here because we don't want to be here. Whoever that may, could be anybody, but I want to tell you, when you hear the word of God, it is supposed to encourage you, it is supposed to fill you up spiritually, because when you walk out here, I guarantee you don't have the Lord working on your side every day, your life is going to be a mess. I'm just going to tell you, it's going to be a disastrous mess, and there's too many Christians walking around in a life of a mess. And so, not only is a Christian supposed to be helping those who are non-Christians or new believers and discipling them, they got to come back around, swing back around, and gather up all those sheep that's just straying all over the place. I just don't understand it. And to a point, I get somewhat frustrated at times. And I'll do it, but call me up and you got a problem, I'll pray for you. But I ain't seen the whites of your eyes and you're part of this church. I'm going to pray for the person. Because the Bible says that you need to find those people who are trying to walk with the Lord so that they could pray with you. But we're fine. Listen, if this church grows weak spiritually, okay, we got to take ownership of it. We got to take ownership of it. Whether that be in the pulpit, or that be out in the pew, or that be out in serving, we got to take ownership of it. So I think a lot of Christians are struggling today because of right here in this, and they struggle and they swim in the same part all the time. So in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, Paul writes here, he says, I do not understand, he says in verse 15, for I do not understand what I am doing because I do not practice what I want to do. Because I do not practice what I want to do, but I do what I hate. How many times you hear people say, well, I'm going to be at church tonight. I'm going to be in Sunday school tonight. I'm going to be in youth group tonight. I'm going to start my Bible study tonight. I'll see you at church on Sunday. Listen, I'm a little bit tough tonight, but I'm telling you, when those people tell me I'm going to pray for you, I don't believe it. I'll pray. I want them to pray for me, but here's what I'm saying. If they can't do what they want to do, I don't want to entrust them with everything I am. I need those prayers, but I'm telling you, I want people that are faithful to pray for me. Okay? But I also have to look in the mirror that I fall in this area too, just as Paul does. And if I don't, he says in verse 16, it's such a small print. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree with the law that it is good. So now I am no longer the one doing it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is my flesh, for the desire to do what is good is with me, but there is no ability to do it. Of course, there's no ability to do it. And we sometimes want to do the right thing, but sin is in there. The sin is there. It's no longer me doing it, but it is sin. But it is not for me to blame sin. and I am without excuse. It's sin, but it's my sin. Okay? But also know nothing really good lives in me. People say that all the time. That's a good guy. That's a good woman over there. Outside of Christ, it's very hard to find that. People can do good acts. They can do good things for people, but it doesn't mean they're a good person. How many times have we watched somebody be doing really good things and all of a sudden they get busted and they're into sex trafficking, or they're into child pornography, or they get caught doing something else? This is why Paul says, there's nothing really good in me, but there is no ability to do it, for I do not do the good that I want to do, but I practice the evil that I do not want to do. Practice means you continue to do it over and over and over. That's practicing. When you practice baseball or you practice certain things, you're trying to get better at it, or you're just doing it over and over, and we have a tendency to keep doing that over and over. America right now is trying to call, the leaders are trying to call out some prayer and repentance. And I believe there's some good hearts with it. I think there's some godly people trying to make those changes. But we're not seeing it in the way that I think most Christians want to see it. Not yet. But we're making an effort. We're making an effort. But then he goes down to verse 24. He says, what a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this dying body? Because we are sinful. But he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I myself am a slave to the law of God, but with the flesh, to the law of sin. So there is a waging war inside of me to doing what is right. I want to do what's right, but wrong is always there trying to get me to do what is wrong. Who will get me out of this mess? Who will rescue me through it? It is none other than Jesus Christ. Once we come to the realization that we have a relationship with Christ, or that someone that is lost, they need that relationship with Christ. They come to Christ, they acknowledge their sin, they confess it, and they believe in Christ, and they come to this acknowledgement that now they are a believer and now they have been saved through that, and that individual and the Lord has had a moment there, and that is supposed to be part of that salvation, accepting Christ and everything that he's done. And when we do that, God gives us and deposits the Holy Spirit into us, and that gives us power to live a different kind of life, because he said the ability is not in me, the ability is not in you. But with Christ, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Okay? So you can live a life that God's called you to live if you let God reign inside of you. And he will reign inside of you by the Holy Spirit. Okay? This is more of a kind of a teaching preaching, because, listen, we got to get a little bit deeper into the Word a little bit. Amen? Okay, everybody's telling me they're saved. We got to go to the next level, which means now we got to try to live right before God. It doesn't make us better than anybody, but God has a purpose for you, and he wants you to be ready for it. And you can't be ready for it until you get to a place where he says you're ready for it. I don't know where it is, but he does. And then we have to, this is why we keep seeing parts. You got to get off the milk. You got to start eating some meat. You got to get into some things. You got to start digging into the Word. Now we go into the life-giving Spirit, okay? Now, chapter 8. So we're going to move into this part. Now, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. We can stop right there and stay the rest of the night here, because so many people are still, they feel condemned by the things that they've done. But they said, I have a relationship with Christ. I asked him to forgive me. He forgives me of all my sins. Cast them as far as the east is from the west, to remember them no more. But I'm going to still bring up the stuff, and I'm saying, oh, no, that can't be forgiving. What you're saying is Jesus can only do so much. There's nothing you can do, there's nothing you can that you've done that Christ cannot forgive you for. Everything was taken care of at the cross. Okay? So when we keep bringing up this stuff, it is not God bringing it up. It is the dark side bringing it up. Remember, God is always trying to pull you forward, draw you forward more toward Him. That's why He says, if you draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. God wants you to be closer to Him. He wants you to move forward. Satan is always trying to remind you of your past and bringing it up and condemning you. Listen, your worst battles are not out here. It's in here. It's in here. Okay? If you say you're a loser and you're no good, and you say it enough, you're going to start to believe it. But that's not how God, and that's not why God saved it. But He says, therefore, no condemnation now exists for those in Christ Jesus. If you are in Christ, you have Jesus Christ in your life, you know that you're saved. Your name is written in the land. You are confident that you have Christ. You know that because you know the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. There is no condemnation. Not. None. How do I know that? Because we just read it. This is the problem with a lot of Christians today. They read it, but they don't get it. You know why they don't get it? Because they don't want to get it. We don't want to get it because then what it does is starts cutting at our life, saying, and you start hearing from the Holy Spirit, then you start understanding and knowing the Holy Spirit's voice. He's going to start cutting things and talking to you about things in life that you might like on the bad side. He wants you to get rid of that. He wants you to dump that and let it go. But because we like it, we know that God is going to get us for that and draw us away from that. But He says in verse 2, because the Spirit's law of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. We as Christians are supposed to experience and understand and live out the life of a free person. Yet also that I am also a slave to Christ. But I am free. I am free from death. I will every day I pick up another gray hair on my head. I get another ring. I am getting to the place where I don't look like I used to look. My body is dying. Every day from day one, your body is going in reverse. You're getting closer to death. But inside, I am growing stronger and stronger and stronger. I'm not boasting myself. I boast in what Christ is doing inside of my life. I don't have to go back to condemnation. I'm stepping away from condemnation because I understand what there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. So I can step away from that. I don't have to fuss with that. I'm good with that. I believe that Christ forgave me of all my sins, and I've accepted that. All of them. But what the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, that's those Leviticus and Deuteronomy and those things. Those were there and set forth earlier in the scripture to tell man what was right and what was wrong. But man cannot do it. If you break one, you break them all. So we're lawbreakers. This is why Christ came. So He says, what the law could not do, since it was limited by the flesh, God did. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending His own Son in flesh, like ours, under sin's domain, and as a sin offering, in order that the law's requirement would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are different. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit about the things of the Spirit. For the mindset of the flesh is death, but the mindset of the Spirit is life and peace. For the mindset of the flesh is hostile to God because it does not submit itself to God's law, for it is unable to do so. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So there is a difference. Once we become a believer in Christ, we are set aside. We are pulled to another side. Now we're accountable to God in a different way. Now we're able to please God. But an unbeliever, people that are not Christians, are not believers, The Bible says, I didn't say it, it says they cannot please God. And in the flesh, when we do things as a Christian in the flesh, we do not please God when we do things outside the will of God. That does not please. The things that we do in our sin, those things do not please God. So there becomes a desire in ourselves, once we become a believer, to want to please God, I hope. Look at your life right now. Do you want to be there 5 years from now? If you don't like what's going on in your life right now, I'm telling you, you don't have the mind to fix it. If you've been doing it for so long, you don't have the... Listen, money's not going to fix. Money will just take you down. Listen, if you're living in sin and you just get more money, it'll take you down the road in a worse way. But if you look at your life and you think you can fix it on your own, I'm just asking you, how's that going? It's not going well. You can't fix it on your own. You just can't do it. And these scriptures are telling us that there is a difference in the life of a non-believer and the life of a believer. There's a separation. But in the flesh, those who are in the flesh, those who are in the flesh, those who are lost are in the flesh, they cannot please God. Christians who are living in the flesh cannot please God. Although we live in this world, and we're not talking about living in this world, we're as just flesh, we're talking about the things that we do in the flesh. But you can't please God when you do these things out of the will of God. But verse 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now here's what happens with a lot of believers. A lot of believers get to this place in their life where they want to say, well, I'm not a righteous person. And this always want to be this doom and gloom type of Christian where, I'm going to be on the outskirts of heaven when I get there. And I'm not going to be able to, I'm barely going to get in. Listen, you don't barely get in. You get in by the blood of Christ like everybody else. Nothing less, nothing more. And people come up with excuses. And usually it's an excuse because they don't want to serve God. You see, once you become saved, you're saved from going to hell and you're saved going into heaven. And now you have a relationship with Christ. But God didn't call you into heaven at that moment. What he did, he saved you on earth. He's given you more life on earth so that you'd serve out for whatever purposes that he has. And we'll see that. But he says, you, however, are not of the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. So, I will tell you this. I have a heartbeat. I have a mind. I think. I have a pumping heart. Also, I have a soul. But there's also the Holy Spirit is inside of me. Not because I'm special, but because I'm a believer. Like every other believer. Now listen, you may get a spiritual gift, and your spiritual gift can be at a level 10, level 8. It's however God gives you that spiritual gift. But when you get the Holy Spirit, you get the Holy Spirit. You don't get 10, you don't get 5, you get the Holy Spirit. Okay? So you can't say that, oh, God shortchanged me on the Holy Spirit. It's the same. Now, he says, now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his Spirit who lives inside of you. Listen, your excitement for salvation didn't end on the day of salvation or the end of baptism. It should just be getting started. But that's not what we're experiencing. And then he moves on here and he goes down to verse 6:14. He says, all those led by God's Spirit are God's sons. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into a fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, of whom we cry out, Abba, which means Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. And if children, also heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, seeing that we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. Basically, what does it say? You're part of the family of God. So here we go. Act like it. I have to act like it. I'm of the purest royalty, blood known to man. And it is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the king. He is a kingmaker. All kings upon the earth, God watched over. Some were good, some were bad, but God had purposes for all of them. God is a kingmaker, but also a sonmaker. He's adopted us. We're into his family, and he treats us as family. He just wants us to act like part of the family, not act like we used to be. The one I always struggled with was co-heirs. We're co-heirs with Christ. That's at a pretty high level. But again, I'm also reminded that I don't get there by myself. I have to have the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to work in me. God gives to you more than you'll ever give to him. Let me just say that. God's going to bless you more than you ever bless him. God's going to take care of you better than you take care of anyone else in your life, no matter who you love. God will be with you. Once you become a believer, God will be with you, and it won't be a second of your life that he steps away and say, I'll be back in a moment. Because the scripture says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. If we truly understand that, wherever our feet take us, he goes with us. But listen, wherever our thoughts go, he knows and goes with us. I want you to understand tonight that our relationship with Christ, we need to understand that once we come to Christ, we together on this thing. There ain't no leaving, there ain't no moving. No, it's his show, it's his world, it's his way. You want to go against it? Well, the Bible also says he disciplines those whom he loves. Which you're going to give a whooping. He does that. And he don't care what society says. He's going to give a whooping. And sometimes they hurt. And sometimes they last a while. Because he's got to get our attention. Because God wants the best from you. He wants you to experience the best life on this earth. And we're blowing it. So many of us are blowing it. And he wants you to experience it in a way that you can't experience it without Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to experience all the junk of life, but he knows every one of us have. And he wants to say, how is that working for you? Listen, I can help you. Go through this door. It is through my son, Jesus Christ. And well, God will give you a life that you can never get on your own. He'll call you a family member. He is our Father. I was praying today and I was saying, Lord, I miss my dad. Passed away 6 years ago and I miss him. But then my prayer adjusted because that's how the Holy Spirit does. And he says, I am your Father. You had a dad, but I am your Father who is forever and ever. I will always be with you. So I know that I have a father and loves me even more than my own earthly father. And I know my father loved me much. And with the promise of the Lord, I'll see him again. Amen. And you'll see yours as well if they know Christ. But I don't understand how to do it all. I don't. I don't understand how to live all this life. I don't do what I am supposed to do. I do what I'm not supposed to do. I struggle with it. Sometimes I work with this condemnation. This is what we do sometimes. I go back to the past. I revisit it. And then I start getting temptations about going back, living in the past. And then I got this stuff where the flesh rises up in me. I thought I was good, and I keep struggling with it. I feel like I'm a family member. I'm called to be a family member. I'm being adopted. I'm all this co-heirs, but I sure don't feel like it. How could God love me? I mess up all the time. Let me tell you, God knows all that. But what does he do? Scripture tells us. He says in verse 26, this is good. He says, in the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weaknesses. God knows we are weak. You're weak. I'm weak in places in my life. But the Spirit joins me. He joins us in our weaknesses because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groans. When I was praying today, saying, Lord, I miss my father, He allowed me to feel that for a moment, but He shifted it. Who shifted it? It wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit. So I had a moment in the vehicle that I had an experience with the Holy Spirit that He turns around and says, listen, I am here. I am your eternal Father. And did I know that? Yes, I knew that. But He reminded me through that prayer and that rubbing of the Holy Spirit. And here it is. I heard Him. How do I know His voice? How do I know it's Him? Because I've worked hard, messed up many times, but always trying to draw to the Lord, getting into His Word, and over a period of time, you will know His voice. You will know His voice. It's like when we have an altar call or somebody is sharing the gospel, and there's a moment we say, you know what, when the altar call gets ready to start, all of a sudden somebody's heart is just pumping, and they feel sweaty, and they feel this urge to go. They just know something's going on. What is it? The Holy Spirit is drawing you. You don't do that on your own. Some people may do it on their own because they want to come down to a special moment of prayer. It's fine. But when you know, and so many people, you know how many people tell me, I knew I was supposed to go down the altar today. Why didn't you go? How'd you know? Oh, I felt Him. I knew it. But what do? We don't do what we ought to do. We do what we don't want to do. We're going back in reverse, and we're battling that. We're battling that. But the Holy Spirit is there telling us, listen, the Holy Spirit joins us in our weakness, so there's a battle going on. Even every time we have services, there's a battle going on with somebody in the pew. Because the Holy Spirit just don't sit. He moves. And then that's where the Scripture says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When you keep saying no, I don't want a relationship. No, and God is calling you and moving you in a direction. You're grieving the Holy Spirit. You're suppressing the Holy Spirit. But He says, because we do not know what to pray for, He also said, verse 27, and He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So the Holy Spirit is God's, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. It can be in all places because it is. But it's not going to be in all people. God sees all things. But He only enters into those who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, acknowledges who He is. But God searches the hearts. The Holy Spirit searches our hearts. This is the only being that knows what's going on and has a perfect will for you and a perfect plan for you. God doesn't reveal it all at once because you couldn't take it. You couldn't take it. But He'll reveal what you can handle at the moment. He'll give glimpses of the future because right now He wants to work. God is perfect. He has a perfect plan and a perfect will for your life. A lot of Christians aren't getting that. They will go through a full life cycle and they'll die and someone will say, oh, what a good person. And they may have done good things. But it's about the will of God. Listening and obeying the Holy Spirit. God knows we're going to mess up. This is why He gives us the Holy Spirit, so we don't mess up. And when we do mess up, He convicts our hearts so that we'll go to Him and ask for that forgiveness and seek and get refreshed in our spirit. So He knows your heart. You can lie, you can say all kinds of things, but He knows who you are. Stripped down naked, He knows who you are. Right to the bone and into the heart. Verse 28 says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purposes. So we know that even things that might happen that are bad, if we turn it over to God, God will turn it into something good. But still, we may have to pay consequences. But God will move it around and turn it into something good. Somebody has a child out of wedlock. What's supposed to happen as a believer? What's not supposed to happen? What's supposed to happen is the Holy Spirit will convict that person. And even though if a couple is Christians and however it may be, that one comes up pregnant, and the boy, he's going to feel guilty. He's going to feel ashamed. He's going to feel embarrassed. She's going to feel the same thing. Maybe not want to come back to church. Now, the church's responsibility is to love them. Holy Spirit's going to convict them. And church needs to be ready to help them go through the healing process. But if there is no repentance and no forgiveness, there's nothing else the church can do except pray for them. We're not going to chastise them. Sometimes the work takes time. Sometimes a hard heart needs to be softened. And you and I cannot soften a heart, just to let you know. But God knows the heart. Sometimes they'll leave and never come back. Other times they'll come back, leave for a moment, come back. But the church needs to love them. There are some things that only God can do. The heart things, that's God. That's a God thing. That is always a God thing. But we must teach and preach truth, but do it in love. Even though it hurts feelings at times, you still have to share the truth. But God will turn things into good. But it'll be for His purpose, not for our own. Now I want to finish up with this piece here. This is going to go kind of fast. But there is a victory thing that we need to understand, because life is hard. And this is what we're talking about. Life is very difficult with all of this. Because once we become a believer, life doesn't just get wrapped up into a big old bow and says, yeah, life is going to be perfect. We just read that it's a roller coaster. But here's what we have. Verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? What do we say about all these things? He says, this is what he says. If God is for us, who is against us? If God is for us, then who's against us? Basically, he's saying, if God's for you, doesn't matter who's against you. Okay? God's got it. If you let God have you, He's got you. If you got a problem and you give it to God, then God's got the problem. He'll work with it. You might have to go through some tough pain, but He's going to work with it, and He's going to work with it, and there'll be some good things somehow. Only God can move those things around and make some good out of it. Doesn't mean you get out of the consequences all the time, though, okay? But if God's for us, and we know that He is, who is bigger than God? No one. So don't worry about those who are against you. Then he says, He did not even spare His own Son. God didn't even spare His own Son, but offered Him up for us. That should tell you how important you are to God. And now remember, God's not looking at you in the beginning as a believer. He's looking at you as a lawbreaker, a sinner, someone separated from God, somebody that's going to hell. Somebody that said bad things about God. You're a mess. And what? We do deserve hell. But Scripture says that He didn't even spare His own Son. He saw you as you were in your worst. But God offered Him up for all of us. How will He not also with Him grant us everything? Now, He will grant us what we need according to His will. And I also know this through Scripture, that when you're living the way God wants you to, it doesn't make you perfect. You're trying to find. When you pray and you ask for some of the wants in your life, you're not a favorite of God, but when you're walking in the will of God, you can find favor. You'll see it through Scripture. Somebody would say, well, Lord, what about this? I'd like to see this or that. God grants a lot of things that we want. He does. He does. Who can bring an accusation against God's believers, the elect? Who can bring them? God is the one who justifies. Okay? So who's going to bring something up against you? Who would bring something up against you? It would be darkness. It would be demonic. Okay? But God overshadows them. Verse 34, who is the one who condemns? It's Christ Jesus is the one who died, but even more has been raised. He also is the right hand of God and intercedes for us. So that's where Jesus is. He's interceding for us, talking about us to the Father. They're having their whole thing. But we're not condemned. Who can condemn us? We found out there is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. That's why he says, who is the one who condemns? As a believer, you're not going to be condemned. Okay? You have Christ. Then he goes on to verse 35. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Nobody. Nothing can. Can afflictions? No. Or anguish? No. Or persecution? No. Or famine? No. Nakedness? Or danger or sword? No. As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter. That's a part right now where when it was written, Christians were being persecuted and put to death. That's what that scripture, that piece was talking about the people today at that time. But there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. If you hear that, that's a lie of the devil. God will never tell you you are ugly. He will never tell you physically that you are ugly. If you hear that, that's the work and the words of the devil. Because God doesn't look on the outside. He says we need to take care of our bodies. But God looks at the heart of the person. He looks at who the person is. Because here's the thing. The inside should always be growing toward Jesus. Like I said earlier, the outside is just fading away. So if God's impressed by the outside, so it looks like my relationship with Christ is going to start good because you might be good looking. But beauty fades. And then it looks like my relationship would be getting worse because it's in the flesh. No, it's about the spirit. But we are supposed to take care of bodies. But listen, no one can separate you from the Lord. No one. The devil will continue to tell you lies. I'm not a good wife. I'm not a good husband. I'm not a good father. I'm not a good mother. Those are lies of the devil. God didn't talk like that. God will work on situations and circumstances to draw. God works a slower piece. God works in the details. The devil's a big loudmouth. God's not like that. God will start working in your anger. He'll start working in little spots there. Or he'll start working in spots where you covet what other people have. Or in your depression. Or in whatever it may be. He'll start convicting you in those areas and start working with you. He'll not wake you up in the morning and call you ugly or you're the worst person on the face of the earth. Remember, Satan, the words like that is always drawing you back. That's what the devil does. God is always trying to draw you forward. But he says this, verse 37, no, in all things we are more than victorious through him who loved us. We are conquerors. If you knew who you was in Christ, and when you walked around, listen, when you walk around, there'll be times when the Holy Spirit will just let you know, not that you are awesome and great, but that God is awesome and great. That where you walk around, you wonder why people may talk about you, whatever. There's always, listen, you are a light. You are a bright light. As it says in Philippians, you are a bright, shining star. And you notice when you look up out in the star when the nights, all the clouds are gone, you can see stars. Some stars are brighter than others. That should be like we should find the brightest star, and that's the one we should be shining as much as that bright star does at night. And did you know if the moon's not out, you can see. If you're walking in the dark and there's no lights around, you can. The light of the stars, if they're bright enough, gives enough light. How dark is this community? Is there enough light in this community? So we need to remember that we are more than conquerors in Christ. We are in the family of God, so we need to act like it. When you walk around, listen, when you walk around, the Holy Spirit is inside of you. You know who you are in Christ. I'm telling you, you're walking around bigger than Superman, Spider-Man, and all the other superheroes, all of them put together. You can do all things through Christ. You know that if someone dies, you can pray over them. If God's will, that that person will come back to life again. I don't know if you believe that or not, but I do, because I've seen it. God is still in the miracle business. We're just blinded and don't see it. Do you know that someone that wasn't living right for God and was a what we call a criminal or whatever and did all kinds of bad, you know, when they turned their life over to Christ, that is a miracle. People, God can still heal. And he does. He says, for this part, as he closes, he says, for I am persuaded that not even death or life, angels or rulers, things present or things to come, hostile powers, height or depth, or any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. And God loves you so much, what did he do? He sent his son to die so that you and I might live. And if somebody wants to get in my way as a Christian, and God doesn't want it to happen, he will intervene. If he allows me to be attacked and persecuted, God will use it for his glory and his good purposes. But if darkness wants to attack me and God doesn't want it to happen, he will shut it down. Listen, we have to do this thing. We have to start seeing things, not just with our fleshly eyes, but with our spiritual eyes. Jesus talks about that a lot. They see, but they do not see. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. When you have the Holy Spirit, you see and you see. When you have the Holy Spirit and you have the ears, the Holy Spirit turns, you hear and you hear. Now, if you understood what I just said, then you know what that was just about. See, that's the deeper things. So sometimes we get a piece of it, and then we just got to stop and you can wrestle with that. I want to close with this. Jesus is enough. To make it in this life today, Jesus is enough. Amen? Amen. Jesus is enough to live the life that he's called you. Jesus is enough to turn my life around. Number two, Jesus knows me more. He knows you better than you know yourself. When you were a baby, he knew you. He knows your worst things. He knows everything in your closet. You know, the one where you put it on, you don't let nobody in. He knows all of it. So it's best to trust Jesus, the one who knows it all. So he knows us better than we know ourselves. And there is a real future for you. But you got to choose his way. Joshua said, choose this day whom you shall serve. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Choose this day who you serve. Listen, wherever you live, you are the spiritual leader of that home. You're a spiritual leader in that home. You have a family. Husband is the spiritual leader of that home. If he's not saved, the mom's saved. Listen, you've got to work the way that the scriptures talk. You be a believer. You still be a part of that family. You don't leave that husband. You work through it, vice versa. You do what you got to do, and you do it, and you pray, and you work through it, and you just got to live that life with that non-believer. Listen, that's how it works. And you pray for the salvation of the other. But I'm telling you, Jesus is enough. And he knows you better than you know yourself. And there is a real future, and it's awesome. But you got to let Jesus be a part of it. And he's the only one that can reveal your true destiny. So many people will live a life and they'll choose their own and they'll choose their own destiny and they'll say, this is not how I wanted it to turn out. Well, when you're in charge of your destiny, you're never going to know how it's going to turn out. But you let God be in charge of your destiny, it's going to be better. It's going to be way better than anything you can think of.